This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to GEICO.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Border wall impasse. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka. On this Monday, December 17, thanks for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Lawmakers continue their staring contest over the money President Trump wants for a wall. Meanwhile, a partial government shutdown looms.
Democrats and Republicans are considering their options after a federal judge ruled the Affordable Care Act is unconstitutional.
Rough weekend weather meant record rainfall for parts of the East Coast and waves as high as 50 feet on the West Coast.
And workers who are ghosting their employers.
We're learning that the labor market is so hot that more employers are reporting people will just walk off the job and never return another phone call, stop showing up for interviews, just tap out with no kind of warning. And economists at the Chicago Fed have dubbed this ghosting.
Reporter Danielle Paquette at the Washington Post on the trend that's puzzling and frustrating hiring managers. She's here in about 20 minutes. As a budget deadline looms, both sides of the political aisle are making clear that there's little room for compromise on President Trump's desire for funding for a wall on the southern border. There are seven spending bills set to expire this Friday night. Without agreement, there could be a partial government shutdown. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer was on NBC's Meet the Press.
President Trump should understand there are not the votes for the wall. In the House or the Senate, he is not going to get the wall in any form.
White House advisor Stephen Miller was on CBS's Face the Nation.
We're going to do whatever is necessary to build the border wall to stop this ongoing crisis of illegal immigration.
Republicans and White House officials over the weekend discussed a two-week spending measure, but the Wall Street Journal says it's not clear they would pursue that route, given that Democrats will gain more leverage when they take control of the House in January. Lawmakers are debating how to respond to a federal court ruling that found the Affordable Care Act to be unconstitutional. Democratic attorneys general are considering legal action to challenge the judge's decision. Republicans yesterday said they wanted to maintain the law's guarantee of insurance coverage for people with pre-existing conditions. But they also said they continued to oppose things like the so-called individual mandate. Senator Susan Collins of Maine, a Republican, said the mandate is burdensome for low and middle income families, and the judge should have stuck to that aspect.
He could have taken a much more surgical approach and just struck down the individual mandate and kept the rest of the law intact. I believe that it will be overturned.
She was on ABC's This Week. Democrats called for a quick vote to intervene to show the judge that the intent of Congress has been to preserve the law. The law remains in place for now, and the Trump administration has signaled it plans to enforce it. Saudi Arabia has officially rejected a resolution passed by the U.S. that blamed Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. More now from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The rebuke from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs on Twitter says the resolution was based upon unsubstantiated claims and allegations and contained blatant interferences in the kingdom's internal affairs. The resolution passed by the U.S. Senate last week states it believes the Crown Prince is responsible for the murder. The CIA concluded that he personally ordered the hit on Mr. Khashoggi, despite the Saudi government's denials that their leader was involved. Gordon.
Thank you, Mike. President Trump has steered clear of blaming the Saudi leader, calling Saudi Arabia a great ally in our fight against Iran. And Defense Secretary James Mattis and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo also have downplayed the Crown Prince's ties to the murder. It is 10 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. A promise by California Congresswoman Nancy Pelosi to stage a vote on leadership term limits is exposing the deep generational divide expected to tug at Democrats when they seize back the House next month. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill, has a look at the battle between one group of ambitious freshmen and younger members and a second group of the old powerful bulls hanging on to seniority. Mike, what do we have?
It's important to note that this is nothing new. There has been a clamor among younger, newer Democrats for many years to get rid of Pelosi, her top two lieutenants, Steny Hoyer and James Clyburn, who have been in power together since 2006, and Pelosi and Hoyer have been there since 2003. So we're almost at 20 years of the same leaders, and a lot of these younger folks have never known another leader at all. At the same time that there's been, you know, quite a churn on the Republican side with, you know, Hastert and Boehner and Tom DeLay and Paul Ryan, and next year it'll be Kevin McCarthy. So there's a sharp contrast between the two parties in terms of leadership tenure, and just a lot more opportunities on the Republican side, and these Democrats are getting a little bit tired of it. So all this fight over Nancy Pelosi, will she go, will she stay, is, again, nothing new, but really came to a head this time, and she was threatened for the first time in her career. And so these changes, this term limit deal that they have cut, and it assures that she will take the speaker's gavel next year, but it also erodes her power, and she had to make some pretty steep concessions, and so that's where we are. Both sides claiming victory, but both sides had to give in a little bit as well.
Yeah. All right. So, kind of explain the kind of the rookies versus the seasoned veterans here. The veterans are saying what? Start with them.
Well, the veterans are saying that you need seniority and experience at a time, you know, crucial time in the country's history when you have an unpredictable president in the White House, and a lot of, you know, shenanigans and a lot of scandals going on up there, and you need somebody who can sit down at the table with him and get the things done that the Democrats want to do. You know, Pelosi has been in the room for many years by virtue of her, you know, past speakership and her minority leader status. She sat down with presidents. She sat down with Mitch McConnell. She knows how to negotiate these things. She's tough as nails. And that was her argument going in. Nobody else has the bona fides that I do. Policy-wise, whipping-wise, fundraising-wise, and just negotiation-wise. And, you know, then that, her allies made that point over and over and over again, and that was the same point that Steny Hoyer and Jim Clyburn were making as well. We have the experience, and this is a time when we need experience. You know, rookies need not apply. And then, the younger generation is saying, well, that might be true, but there's a reason that nobody else has the expertise. You haven't allowed anybody to learn the ropes. Right. You know, there's this bottleneck at the top, and nobody else has been able to learn how to do these things.
Wow. We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. He's got a piece entitled "Term Limit Fight Highlights Growing Pains for Pelosi's Majority." When the older folks are speaking and making their case here, it does make it seem like they feel they're entitled to a leadership role just because they've been around a while. Sounds very swampy, to borrow a term from others.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it has been their biggest challenge, right? Just because we've been around a while, then we should stay, doesn't sit well with a lot of Democrats on and off Capitol Hill. That, you know, they see a greater benefit in churn and getting some new faces, some new ideas at the top of the party, no doubt about it. But, you know, at the same time, that argument has been tough to make. You know, going into this election, the insurgent group, the anti-Pelosi group, had always said, we can't win, or she has to go because we can't win a majority with Nancy Pelosi at the helm. And then she won a majority and a lot more seats than people were expecting. It looks like it's going to be about 40 seats that flip. So they kind of took away her singular argument there that we can't win with Pelosi.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, several government agencies are preparing for a possible partial government shutdown at the end of the week as President Trump digs in on his insistence that Congress approve $5 billion in funding for a border wall. The father of the 7-year-old who died earlier this month after being taken into Border Patrol custody is calling for an objective and thorough investigation of her death. Neri Kyle Kuz released a statement prepared by his lawyers, maintaining his daughter had, in fact, been eating and drinking in the time up to their border crossing. Autopsy results that will provide the official cause of death are still pending. The Affordable Care Act continues to be the law of the land while the court case plays out, and residents can still sign up. Senator Roy Blunt appearing on NBC's Meet the Press.
This will have to go through a circuit court process. Who knows if the circuit court would uphold it or not? That will either be quickly dismissed, which is one option, or a long period of time, in my view, before the circuit court deals with it.
Blunt is commenting on Friday's ruling by a Texas federal judge in response to a lawsuit from 20 conservative-led states that successfully argued that because Congress struck the penalty for failing to obtain insurance coverage, the ACA is now unconstitutional. The Education Department's going back to the drawing board for its new student loan system. New tech was intended to streamline the fragmented repayment process for more than 35 million federal student loan borrowers. Seven companies filed legal challenges over procedural errors in the contracting process to work on the new system, so the department's decided to start over. Thousands of protesters chanted anti-government slogans and braved sub-zero temperatures yesterday in marches through Budapest. They're opposing laws they say will restrict workers' rights and increase the maximum number of OT Hungarian companies can demand from workers. Paris endured a fifth straight weekend of protests by the country's Yellow Vest movement, complete with tear gas and water cannons. But the demonstrations against France's high cost of living were significantly smaller and quieter than recent weeks. In one of the biggest upsets of the season, the slumping Eagles revived their chances of making the playoffs by stunning the L.A. Rams last night. Here's WIP on the call as Wendell Smallwood runs for a 9-yard touchdown to give the Eagles a 20-13 lead.
First and 10 on first down. It goes inside. Smallwood up the middle. He's in! Smallwood spins into the end zone for the touchdown.
Philly beat Los Angeles 30-23.
Aren't you a big Eagles fan?
And didn't I curb my enthusiasm just a bit there?
Okay, okay. You were not doing cartwheels when you came in this morning, but you did do a couple of fist bumps. There we go. It's 23 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Economists report that workers are starting to act like millennials on Tinder. They're ditching jobs without even a simple text. The Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago says more companies are ghosted. A situation in which a worker stops coming to work without notice and then is impossible to contact. Washington Post reporter Danielle Paquette has more on these silent exits in which applicants blow off interviews, new hires turn into no-shows, or workers leave one evening and never return. Danielle, what are we learning?
We're learning that the labor market is so hot that more employers are reporting people will just walk off the job and never return another phone call, stop showing up for interviews, just tap out with no kind of warning. And economists at the Chicago Fed have dubbed this ghosting.
Is this a young person's thing?
You know, that was my initial instinct because ghosting emerged from the millennial lexicon, but I'm hearing from workers of all ages that this is something they've done at some point in their life. Maybe their employer wasn't treating them that great, so they just walked right out.
How popular has this become? Any way to measure it?
So we don't have national data yet on ghosting. Analysts are trying to figure that out. But I heard from some global staffing companies that they have seen 10 to 20% increases in ghosting happening.
Boy, any particular line of work or all areas?
You know, I asked that too, and I'm hearing there's just so much demand for all kinds of workers, from your low-paid entry-level service workers all the way up to those corner office kind of professional jobs. Although at the higher end, ghosting happens more often after someone receives an offer. An employer might not hear from them at all ever again, even if they say, hey, I'll get back to you next week after some thinking.
No kidding. So, I think you put it out in the story too, like some people just don't even show up for a job interview. Like, it's, things
That's
are
right.
that good.
Yeah, and I heard some more generous analysis of what could be going on here. Some job seekers have maybe 5 or 10 interviews lined up, and maybe they just forget to respond to a certain employer.
Wow. Was it an example in China that you gave where at one point they got so exhausted by this they actually named like 2 candidates to fill a position just to make sure they had a backup?
That's right. That's a solution we saw years ago in China. You know, that country has experienced just explosive growth over the last decade or so. And in that time, employers were so hard up for applicants that they would just make two offers and hope someone would show up. And in the event of both people accepting the offer, well, that's just more talent for them to have.
That's something. We're speaking with Danielle Paquette, business reporter at The Washington Post. She's got a piece about how workers are ghosting their employers, meaning the job market's so good, they're not even bothering to show up for a job interview or even after they've been offered a gig. They don't show up or they just kind of quit on the spot with no notification whatsoever. What's an employer to do here in this situation?
Employers don't know what to do. You know, they call. They don't want to believe it's happening. They try to follow up. They hear nothing. But what I hear from some consultants is you can avoid ghosting by building better relationships with people at every step of the hiring process. You know, learn their names, ask about their family, suggest that you care about them more than someone who's just bringing you profit.
Thanks, Danielle. Washington Post reporter Danielle Paquette. It is 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Listen to us anytime on TuneIn at This Morning, America's First News with Gordon Deal, and on Stitcher at This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, December 17. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: Congress at an impasse for now over border wall funding. Former FBI Director James Comey testifies again before Congress. California says it will no longer pursue a tax on texting. Tumblr today set to ban adult content after its app was dropped by Apple's App Store when child sex abuse content appeared. New movie about World War I hits theaters today. It's called They Shall Not Grow Old. It doctored some grainy footage and added color. And the hero school bus driver from Alabama. That story in about 20 minutes. Food recalls throughout this past year may have some American consumers nervous to put anything in their mouths, but the U.S. food system is still among the safest in the world, especially considering the sophistication of the country's supply chains, the sheer number of people eating in this country, and the reporting tools in place. As Lottie Meyer at USA Today reports, there is no, quote, poop apocalypse. Lottie, explain.
That's true. You have to think about it. We have a pretty sophisticated food supply chain. We have reporting tools in place that are really, really top of the line. And also, if you just did the math, the number of people eating in this country is so extraordinary that if you figure out how many affected foods there are, it really is a tiny, tiny percentage.
All right. So what would you say? We eat like 960 pounds of food per year, the average American? Ben,
yeah.
Put that in perspective with illnesses, I guess.
Sure, sure. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's most recent data, the average American eats close to 960 pounds a year. You have to assume there are 300 million-plus Americans. How many recalls are there? Well, I can tell you, for example, that on Tuesday, the FDA issued 5 recalls, 4 of which were food-related. So it really depends. But again, even 4 food recalls in one day, again, how many food items are produced in this country or imported in this country, and how many are actually affected by food recalls?
What do you mean by images perception?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned yourself, sometimes we hear headline after headline after headline, we start to panic and we think it might be, as I said in my article, the poop apocalypse. That's really not the case. In today's day and age, companies are very quick to recall their items because they're afraid of what happens down the line if they don't. They don't want to deal with bad PR related to people getting sick, or even possibly dying. So they'd rather do it more prophylactically.
Mm. We're speaking with Zlati Meyer, money reporter at USA Today, about her piece entitled, "Feel Like There's a Food Recall Every Day." Could our food safety system be better?
Yes, some of the experts talked about that there certainly is room for improvement, but the issue, of course, is that with that comes a higher cost of food. He estimated that if we did sort of everything humanly possible, your grocery bill might be as much as three times as high as it is now.
Wow.
We have to think about all the expenses that companies would need to put in terms of better trained and better paid workforces, things like irradiation equipment, state-of-the-art factories. Are we really willing to foot the bill when it comes to standing in the checkout line? Chances are no.
Wow. Your point, too, about reporting may not be your friend. Explain that one.
That's right. We have a system here in the U.S., whether it's recalls done by the FDA or recalls done by the USDA, that really is top-notch. We have to compare that to other countries. Think about perhaps those in Latin America or Africa or parts of Asia. They don't collect this data as quickly as we do. And sometimes when they do collect it, it's too late. And an example that most people will remember, of course, was back in 2008 with the tainted milk scandal in China. They really didn't take action there until six babies had died and 300,000 people had gotten sick. Imagine what would happen in this country. It does not work like that. Another thing is, in other parts of the world, people just kind of get used to it. One of the experts I spoke to, a professor at University of Georgia, he had grown up in Mexico during the 1960s and 1970s, and he said, and I quote, "It was like getting a cold. You get one once a year." That's really how they viewed foodborne illnesses there. It just became a fact of life. In this country, that's really not the case. We would not stand for it.
Yeah. What are the typical problems when there are food recalls?
Well, very often there are pathogens or the suspicion of pathogens, and those are things like salmonella, like listeria. Another issue might be undeclared allergens, particularly with things like dairy and tree nuts. Some people have very, very strong allergic reactions to that, so they need to be made aware of that. You have to keep in mind, food ultimately comes from Mother Nature, right? Whether it's the raw produce we put in our salad, a la the romaine, or ingredients that ultimately go into your sandwich or into the animals that we consume. And we don't grow food, we don't raise animals in a biodome. So you have to keep in mind that there are birds flying overhead and feral pigs running through. And these animals, well, they poop in things, and ultimately that gets into our food.
There's a little breakfast information for you, right? Money reporter Zlati Meyer at USA Today. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, with more and more of us having virtual assistants in our homes, we keep learning about all the unintended consequences. People with the first name Alexa have been having some frustration for sure. Kids have been known to use these smart speakers to order themselves gifts, bypassing Santa altogether. And now you might have to start worrying about your parrot. According to the Times of London, Rocco, a parrot in the UK, has befriended Alexa, using the virtual assistant to play his favorite music, tell jokes, and even order snacks. Thankfully, the device's parental lock system prevented the clever boy from actually purchasing any items, which included strawberries, ice cream, and even a kettle. Rocco was taken in by his current owner after being removed from a sanctuary for swearing too much, having been taught to do so by his previous owner. He seems to be loving his new home, though, and his new friend Alexa, with whom he interacts with up to 40 times a day.
Wow.
Just hanging out, chatting with Alexa all day long.
Oh, my goodness.
And why not?
That's funny.
Good thing they had that parental lock on. Who knows what would have shown up at the front door?
Another
parrot, maybe. Who knows?
Perhaps. A whole flock of them.
Right.
That's great.
Yeah, there's nothing you can't order on Amazon, so you got to be... Go Rocco. And, you know, Gordon, we may need to launch an investigation into why giant wooden spools keep coming loose and wreaking havoc on the roads in Houston. This after a big spool got loose on a busy city road last week for the fourth time since October, forcing drivers to think fast and get out of its path. A photo posted to Twitter shows the giant spool, the kind you might see with cable wrapped around it or perhaps being used as a table at your local hipster brew pub, blocking lanes of traffic near a busy interchange. The driver who snapped the photo said the spool collided with a blue truck, but the family inside the truck did not appear to be injured. The incident occurred just 1 week after an even larger spool came loose in traffic on the South Loop. Two spools got loose on Interstate 10 near Wayside November 12th, and the first spool rolled free in the same area on October 25th.
What?
That's always something I think about when I'm driving behind a truck that has, you know, stuff kind of, you know, tied down like that. Right. Oh, they know what they're doing, right? Of course.
Yes.
They're, you know, somebody definitely is checking that to make sure it's not loose. But apparently it's just these spools that seem to be coming loose and flying around on the highways in Houston.
Not the cables that they might be carrying on them. Just the empty spools themselves.
Right. Well, yeah, this particular one looked like it was empty. Didn't have any. This one that I saw the picture of from the last week, just it was empty. Had nothing attached to it. I don't know what happened to the cable. Again, maybe I've seen these things used a lot as tables at bars and stuff. So that maybe it was on its way to a bar to be used. Who knows?
That is so weird.
Maybe it's those people who are not tying them down properly.
Wow. By the way, it's nice to have you back.
Back?
Yeah.
You say?
So Mike Gavin has checked out the past few weeks because his fantasy football team has been in crazy recovery mode.
Right.
And then you got just demolished this weekend.
Yes.
And your mood has lifted because I think emotionally there are no more ties to cheering for all the wrong reasons during football season.
Right, right.
So
I mean,
welcome back.
Between my fantasy team being out, the Giants obviously being very much out, there's really no reason for me to have to pay attention to games I don't really want to watch anymore.
And pretty much, I mean, your entire team let you down.
Oh, yeah.
You nothing went right yesterday.
No.
You scored just a fraction of a point and lost by 200 points or whatever.
There were no redeeming quality.
But I'm
glad to be back.
Mike and his good attitude have returned. The pressure of fantasy football season gone from his shoulders.
Happy to be here.
13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday. The percentage of high school seniors who say they vaped nicotine in the past 30 days nearly doubled this year. In the annual survey on drug use among adolescents, federally funded researchers reported earlier today that more than 1 in 3 high school seniors and nearly 1 in 3 sophomores said they vaped at least once in the past year. Nearly 21% of high school seniors say they vaped a nicotine product, up 11% from a year ago. The largest one-year increase of any substance abuse or substance use, rather, in the survey's 43-year history. Federal officials called the rise in vaping alarming. Anti-smoking activists want more education about the potential harms of nicotine addiction and more oversight of the way the growing e-cigarette industry markets their products. That said, by the way, use of other illicit drugs among teens was flat or declined. Students are drinking less, with lower rates of binge drinking or being drunk. Misuse of prescription opioids also decreased. E-cigarettes, by the way, were developed to help adult smokers quit tobacco. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, President Trump isn't backing down from allowing funding for some federal agencies to run out after December 21st if Congress doesn't approve $5 billion for a border wall. But speaking on NBC's Meet the Press, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer said Trump needs to accept there aren't enough votes in either the House or Senate.
I am getting little glimmers from my Republican colleagues and even from the White House that maybe they realize shutting down is a bad idea.
Saudi Arabia is blasting the U.S. Senate for its resolutions to end military aid for a Riyadh-led war in Yemen and blaming the Saudi crown prince for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The foreign ministry describes it as interference based on untrue allegations. Hundreds of residents of Barron, Wisconsin are holding out hope for the return of 13-year-old Jamie Kloss, who vanished 2 months ago when her parents were found murdered. Hundreds of balloons in Jamie's honor were released from a weekend vigil around a 16-foot Christmas tree of hope at Riverview Middle School, where the missing teen is a student. Over 1,000 people filled a square in the French city of Strasbourg Sunday to show respect and sympathy for the victims of last week's attack near its famous Christmas market, as the death toll rose to 5. The memorial ended with a minute of applause and a rendition of France's national anthem. The main suspect died in a shootout with police Thursday in the Strasbourg neighborhood where he grew up. The UN summit on climate change ramped up in Poland over the weekend, with almost 200 nations, including the U.S., adopting rules meant to revive the 2015 Paris Climate Accord by setting out how countries should report their emissions and efforts to reduce them. Negotiators delayed other key decisions until next year. The co-founder of the phone-based trivia platform HQ Trivia and video clip platform Vine was found dead in his Manhattan apartment Sunday.
Police discovered Colin Kroll unconscious and unresponsive when they responded to a 911 call for a welfare check. Kroll was 34. Marvel's favorite web-swinging superhero owned the box office.
Hey, fellas.
Is he in black and white?
Where's that wind coming from? We're in a basement.
Wherever I go, the wind follows. And the wind, it smells like rain.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse earned an estimated $35 million and $35.5 million, actually, in its first weekend. In almost 4,000 theaters, it was a record for animated movies in December.
How about that? Very good. Do you get out to see movies?
Yeah, I want to go see that World War One movie today, actually.
Oh, yes, saw that, yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds very interesting. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Raising a glass today to a generous school bus driver in Alabama when icy roads delayed the opening of Montevallo Elementary. Driver Wayne Price steered the bus into McDonald's and bought 50 breakfast biscuits so the kids wouldn't go hungry in class. Since the delayed opening would mean they would be skipping the school's breakfast period. Though he's being praised as a small-town hero for the kind deed, Mr. Price says he was simply inspired by the spirit of Christmas to do the right thing. In the days since, the post on Facebook by the school has won major applause with over 1,800 likes from those within and beyond the Montevallo community, a city roughly 35 miles south of Birmingham. Mr. Price recalled that one of the kids said, "Oh, Mr. Price, you must be rich." He said, "I'm not rich. I am in full-time ministry." That'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.